Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day.
Word of God. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, for none of us would even have a chance at heaven without what your son did and your word that has stood the test of time. And we thank you, Father, that it's as alive now as it was the day it was written. God, for you are the word and the word is life. And we thank you, Father, it's life to our bones, it's life to our minds, it's life to our checking accounts, it's life to our families, it's life to our children, to our grandchildren, to our homes. God, we thank you, Lord, that there is life in, around, and through us because of your word and what your son did. And we honor you today, God. I honor that although this is Father's Day, you are the ultimate father. For although some of us may have grown up without a good dad, or without a dad, today we honor you as the ultimate father, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, but most importantly, the father that gave his only son for us. And we honor you and thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're going to do in this place today. I think you're already beginning to move in the hearts of people. And all those watching online, down to our kids ministry, we invite your spirit in. God, we thank you, you're going to fall in this place. Lord, do what only you can do today. Make this word come alive, that it would bear fruit in all who would receive it today. And we thank you, God, that those who came in weary will leave with the joy and the zeal for life that they have been itching and wanting and praying and asking and at home not sleeping because they've needed. And I thank you today is the answer. You are here. You are the answer. Everything we need has already entered. As you're seated, why don't you look to some man next to you or near you and say, Happy Father's Day. I'm so glad that we did not honor Pastor Mike's request to not be put in. I'm like, thank you for this suggestion, but we will surpass your suggestion. He's such an honorable man, and just thank you, fathers. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, though, to my one and only, my husband. I'm so glad that you're here today. And you're the best dad to Merritt and the best husband to me. I love you. I think when God was picking out my husband, he said, we got to pick someone strong for that girl. And someone with equal or more stubbornness than her. And boy, did he pick the perfect man to lead our family. And I'm just so grateful. And happy Father's Day to my dad in heaven. I honor him today. And today, all throughout growing up, Father's Day was probably by far one of his favorite to speak. And he usually, my whole life, picked one story to teach on Father's Day. And so to honor him, I picked the same story. But I did study it a little differently, and I found something that I think he would be proud because I never heard him speak this, and I think from heaven he's watching going, aha, she found something, something special. And so if you would just, the prodigal son is one of my dad's favorite stories, and although many of you have heard it and are probably like Mercedes, I've heard this story 100 times, there's nothing new that we could learn from this, and I did not come here today to hear about this. I promise you, if you'll hang in, if you'll buckle up, we're going to go somewhere really special, and Dad, you're going to love it. Something I've never seen before. Women, you're going to love this too. We just had Mother's Day. Today is the day for the guys, and we're going to make sure you're going to like where we go today. You're going to like where you end up. You're going to like that you got out of bed today and came to church, okay? It's going to be worth it for you. Go with me to Luke. Luke. I'm so glad you got that Yeti. Is that what it is? Yeah. Yep. What are you going to put in there? Lots of food. Yes. Go with me to Luke 15. I don't know what to do. Okay, Luke 15. All right. Are you there? Speed down to verse 11. I'm going to read from the Amplified Classic today. And Zach, thank you so much. He's got a lot of work cut out for him today, scripture-wise and note-wise, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much. How many of you loved your gifts? Nick Hawkins, those labels were fantastic. And Pastor Brandon, although he will not take any credit for it, he came up with all of that and the spice recipe. So when you go home, and hopefully you have some meats in your fridge or freezer, and sweets, yeah. You got a nice, did you look in there? Did you open your bags? You have full permission to eat what's in there. I wouldn't suggest eating the spices at this moment. But there are other snacks in there. And men, this is your time. If you get a little hungry, go ahead. And no need to share today. All right, Luke 15, 11. If you're not there, you're not going to make it. Just follow along. Okay, says, and he said, there was a certain man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the part of the property that falls to me. And he divided the estate between them. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered up all that he had and journeyed to a distant country. And there he wasted his fortune in reckless and loose, without restraint living. And when he had spent all that he had, a mighty famine came upon that country, and he began to fall behind and be in want. So he went and glued himself upon one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed hogs, pigs. And he would gladly have fed on and filled his belly with, this is pig food. Guys, we got a little soundtrack today. Isn't that great to the word of God? So he's eating pig food where they were eating, but they could not satisfy his hunger, and nobody gave him anything better. So he's coming to the end of himself here. Then when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have enough food? And even food to spare. But I am perishing, dying here of hunger. I will get up, go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me like one of your hired servants. Now in your Bible, I want you to underline, highlight, circle or something, verse 20. It says, and he got up and he came to his own father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with pity and tenderness for him. And he ran and embraced him and kissed him fervently. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I no longer deserve to be recognized as a son of yours. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe, the festive robe of honor, and put it on him, and give him a ring for his hand and sandals for his feet, and bring out what wheat, fattened calf, and kill it, and let us revel and feast and be happy and be merry, because this my son was dead and is now alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to revel and feast and make merry. But his older son was in the field. And as he returned and came near the house, he heard music and dancing. And having called one of the servant boys to him, he began to ask what this meant. And he said to him, your brother has come and your father has killed that wheat fattened calf because he has received him back safe and well. But the elder brother was angry. Rightfully so, huh? In that moment, I probably would have had the same reaction. It says, with deep-seated wrath and resolve not to go in, then the father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you. I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me so much as a little kid that I might revel and feast and be happy and make merry with my friends. But when this son of yours arrived, who has devoured your estate with immoral women, you have killed for him that wheat fattened calf. And the father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But it was fitting to make merry, to revel and feast and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and is now alive again. He was lost, and now he is found. What I learned in this was why the father took off running when he saw his son. And my dad's part of the story that he loved was that the father was just waiting, looking. He was waiting for the day, sitting, watching. But here's why. One of the reasons he ran was, of course, because he loved his son. But there was another. Back in this time, there was something called a kazaza ceremony in Jewish tradition. And what a kazaza ceremony was whenever a Jewish son would lose their inheritance to a Gentile, anyone who was not a Jew, which this is exactly what this son had done, if he were to come back, the ceremony, when he was seen coming into the gates of the village, was meant to cut him off. And the elders in the community would go to the front gate, and the son, as he was getting there, they would all take all of their pots, pans, plates, and they would break them into pieces. Can you imagine the sound of all the elders running to the gate and the whole town is going, oh, so-and-so came back. It was signifying that there was a broken relationship and that this relationship could not, would not, never would be restored. And that the father would not be there. The father would be at his house emotionally unattached, as in, you are no longer my son. Now think of that in the realm of this story, through that ceremony. The father just didn't take off running because he loved his child. He took off running to get there first. He was thinking, I have to redeem my son before the rest of the community gets there and begins a kazaza ceremony. Before he feels one inch of shame, he's going to feel me. It says the father was waiting. What did verse 20 say? So he got up, he came to his own father. Can you imagine what he was feeling, knowing this is what was going to take? He anticipated this kazaza ceremony. He knew this is what happens. I'm going to go, it's exactly what's going to happen, and I'm just going to beg to be one of the workers. It says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with pity and tenderness for him, and he ran and embraced him and kissed him fervently. He ran before the whole town heard the kazaza ceremony of the breaking of all of their plates, pots, pans. He ran before the smashing could begin. It was something the whole village would hear, and the father took off and got there. Instead of declaring kazaza, he declared a party. A party. He gave him the best of the best. What does Psalms 91 say? In verse 14 through 16, it says, if you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care. If you'll only get to know me and trust me, call me and I'll answer. Be at your side in bad times. Here's it. I'll rescue you, then I'll throw you a party. I'll give you a long life, give you a long drink of salvation. So you go from lost to rescued. And in exchange, he throws you a party and he gives you a long life of satisfaction and a long drink of salvation, it says. See, some of us in the room may be the prodigal. At one point, we all were. Some of us may have a prodigal. You may have a son or daughter that isn't following Jesus. Or maybe a relative or a friend or people that you know. We all know people that don't know Jesus. We work with them. Hello. We meet them every day at the store. And maybe some of us are thinking that prodigal doesn't deserve to walk into this church building and get thrown a party. If we're real, we all could think of names and faces that have done wrong, that have said things. And if they were to walk into the back of this auditorium, after all of that, how would we greet them? That's sobering. They better not show their face. You know, at my dad's funeral, there were some people that that showed up, and they had said and done purposefully some very mean, dirty, angsty things against my father. And I had someone ask, if so-and-so shows up, what do we do? And I said, what my dad would do. They said, what was that? I said he would have taken off his best coat, given him his best ring, and ran to him and embraced him. And that's what we'll do. We all were the prodigal. And yet God sent his son running to you and I. Running before the enemy could call kazaza ceremony on us. See, when you think about the love of God, when you have a deep understanding of how much God loves you, you don't have a problem loving others who are being unlovely. But I find most people, when they're acting out of hate, they don't have a deep sense of how much God loves them. Because it's sobering to know that God sent his son running to me because I was the one who squandered my inheritance. I was born a sinner. And God knew, no matter what, there was nothing I could do to stop that ceremony from happening. So he sent his son running. For me. For you. In Zechariah, what did it say about the last day's church? Zechariah 4, 1 through 3 says, and the angel who talked with me came again and awakened me like a man who is wakened out of his sleep and said to me, what do you see? And I've made the joke, I would say, you, I see you, that you are large and in charge and intimidating, seeing an angel. And he said, I said, I see and behold a lampstand all of gold with its bowl for oil on the top of it, and its seven lamps on it. And there are seven pipes to each of the seven lamps which are upon the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side of it, feeding it continuously with oil. It says, what do you see? He saw a vision of a candlestick, all of gold. And this is in reference to the last day's church, which, hello, it's you and I right now. It's symbolic of a pure and prosperous state of the church. All of gold, that represents wealth and purity. And this is a vision of the last day church. And it says that the primary characteristics of the last day church is something that would be wealthy, something that would be pure. and prosperous. And then it says, with its bowl for oil on the top of it and its seven lamps on it, and there are seven pipes to each of the seven lamps which are upon the top of it, and there are two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side of it, feeding it continuously with oil. Now, oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit and the anointing. Not only is the last day church going to be prosperous, pure, but it's going to be anointed. The three characteristics are extremely wealthy, extremely pure, and extremely anointed. That's exciting news for all of us. Now, Psalms 34:17 says this. Is anyone crying for help? God is listening, ready to rescue you. See, if you're going to step into the last day church inheritance, which is yours and mine, extremely wealthy, extremely pure, extremely anointed, we're going to have a funeral for our own pride. It can't exist. Because then it's not pure. And it says, is anyone crying for help? Anyone is anyone. It's the person you love the most and the person that's hardest to love the most. Is anyone crying for help? You can come into these doors and you will find the love of Jesus. That doesn't mean that we condone sin. It doesn't mean that I won't speak truth of what the Bible says about sin from the pulpit. It has nothing about condoning. But I am an extension of the love of Jesus. Which means, in the Bible it says, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. All the more. And a church that tells the truth, and I won't lie to you, Romans 2:4 says, or do you have no regard for the wealth of his kindness and tolerance and patience in withholding his wrath? Are you actually unaware and ignorant of the fact that God's kindness leads to repentance? That is to change your inner self, your old way of thinking. Seek his purpose for your life. The goodness of God has always been what leads people to repentance and change. Never the wrath of God, never the judgment of God. You can never condemn someone into living a better life. But you can love them into living a better life. I've never been condemned into living a better life. I've always been loved into it. And trust me, both have been tried. Anybody experience both? Does condemnation make you want to change, or does it make you feel like you don't deserve it? And so it's like, why worth trying? Why try if I'm this awful? It's not gonna go. But when you show the love of Jesus, I've met people that have the hardest hearts, and they melt in a moment when they experience the love of Jesus. Why do you think we do Love Omaha? Is it to just feed people? Absolutely not. It is to show the love of Jesus Christ, because the love of God, the kindness of God, is what leads people into relationship with him. There's protests and people, and they're like, you're a sinner, you know, and I'm going, oh, stop it. You're ruining it for the rest of us. We don't all think that way. No one's going to change by you holding up a sign and screaming at them. People are changed when you have personal encounters showing the human form of the love of God. And so many people, and I think fathers especially, have been so concerned with what they've done and why they don't measure up.
And men, that's why Jesus came. Because nothing you could do would be enough or measure up. That's why he came. That's why he sent his son running to you. We were born sinners. We didn't stand a chance at getting into heaven. And God said, I got to make a way. And he sent his son running. Now, I love each and every one of you so much, but you would never see me send my son running for you. And I love you, but I love him more. But our Father God, can you think of that? That you were worth more. That price was worth paying for you. For you. And I think sometimes we think the mercy of God is something that only really bad sinners need. But I need his mercy, and so do you. We're all really bad sinners. And we try to make a caliber of, well, I'm not this bad, you know. I'm not running the drug cartel, and I'm not, you know, I'm not, in case you were like. But I think we think that that there's like a caliber, and where I'm like, I'm not as bad, so it's okay. No, we all, Colin, just so you're aware, I'm not running the drug cartel. But I think we kind of put things in a caliber of sin. But we all need God's mercy. That's why God sent his son. Go with me to Luke 15, 4 through 7. We're going to shoot up now from where we were. What man of you, if he has 100 sheep and should lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness desert and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his own shoulders, rejoicing. And when he gets home, he summons together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep which was lost. Thus I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one especially wicked person who repents, changes his mind, abhorring his errors and misdeeds, and determines to enter upon a better course of life than over 99 righteous persons who have no need of repentance. Maybe today you find yourself as the prodigal. Maybe you're listening and you find yourself the prodigal far away from God. Or maybe you're the father and you have someone that you love dearly who's far away from God. The point is, Jesus took the place. And I'm going to show you. Maybe you've been praying for years and years and standing for somebody in your family that you love, and they're just like, you're like, whoa, I don't know if they're ever going to get it. They are hard as it gets. They push everything God away. I'm going to give you some tools today. You're not left without tools. Maybe you felt that way your whole life, and today you're going to walk away feeling a whole lot different. I almost said something else. Whole lot different, okay? Now, we've been teaching on angels and how the word says that they're the reapers of our harvest, according to Matthew 13. Go with me to verse 10 of Luke 15. We'll see something interesting. It says, even so, I tell you, there is joy among you, among and in the presence of angels, of God over one, especially a wicked person. Did we read by this? There is joy among and in the presence of angels of God over one, especially a wicked person who repents, changes his mind for the better, heartily amending his ways.
See, it's not just the Father God who is watching his son and daughter to come home. Your angels are waiting with anticipation too. God has ordered all of heaven to watch over your life. When you came to know Jesus, all of heaven was watching. And that person that you love, all of heaven is watching. God has ordered all of heaven to watch your life and wait for that son or daughter that you've been standing for. Hebrews 1:14 says this, "Are not the angels all ministering spirits, servants sent out in the service of God for the assistance of those who are the inheritors of salvation?" Now, who are the inheritors of salvation? Me. You. So angels, and we've been talking about this, but I grew up thinking they kind of show up whenever God tells them to, which is great. I'm like, awesome. He knows more than me. But no, angels don't show up just when God tells them to. They show up when you tell them to. Which means you and I have a whole lot more authority than we've been actually working with. A whole lot more authority than we've been speaking, than we've been walking with. Maybe we've been walking with the thought of life is happening to me. You have the authority to make life happen for you. And it says, angels are the reapers of our harvest. And then it's so interesting to me that it says that they're ministering servants sent out in the service of God for the assistance of those who are the inheritors of salvation. So they don't just show up when God tells them to. They show up when we tell them to. Go with me to Psalms 103. 103:20. It says, "Bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord. You, his angels, you mighty ones who do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Bless affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, all of you, his hosts." What's another word for hosts? Angels. "You, his ministers who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul." So angels hearken to the voice of his word to do his pleasure. Which means it doesn't matter who says his word, they must hearken to it. What's God's pleasure? Psalm 35:27 says, "May those who delight in my vindication shout for joy and gladness. May they always say," "the Lord be exalted who delights in the well-being of his servant." Now another version says this, "Let those who favor my righteousness cause and have pleasure in my uprightness shout for joy and be glad and say continually, let the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." Well, I like both of those. God cares about my well-being and he cares about my prosperity. So he cares about my well-being and prosperity. It's his pleasure that I'm taken care of. And it's his pleasure that I prosper. So it's not just needs being met, which is what we've settled for. A need being met. Amazing. God's so good that he does meet our needs. I'm so grateful. But it says that he takes pleasure in our prosperity. Prosperity, that's an overflow. That's not just a need being met. That's I have more than enough to flow over in my life. It's too much. I don't know where all of it can go. That's God's pleasure. And that's the angel's job. To hearken to God's pleasure. And his pleasure is that you prosper. Fathers, in your house, you are a covering. And yes, I know that it comes with great responsibility. And I know that a lot of fathers in here, maybe watching online, you're like, I'm so tired. I'm tired. And I come home and I'm tired. And I feel like I can't get my head floating above water sometimes. That there is so much coming at me at once. There's so much responsibility. There's so much heaviness on my shoulders. I mean, my family, I have to provide for my family. I'm a spiritual covering for my family, and I feel like I'm barely making it. Let me tell you this. You are not alone. You have an innumerable workforce. And I think this is why dads are so tired. Because you've been doing a workforce of angels on your own. And you can't. Is it working? No. Is it, do you feel like, oh man, I got this. All of you just sit it out. I'm the man. I can go. No. There is a grace and a lift of pressure off of your life when you realize, I, yes, am a covering, but I can assign angels to handle anything I need them to. They're ministering spirits that hearken to the word of God, which means when you go to work and you're worried about your kids or your grandkids or your wife, you can send angels to them and tell them what to do. Today I'm not going to be there, so angels, I assign you. You're going to go to my house. You're going to take care of my kids. You're going to bear them up according to Psalms 91, and you are going to make sure they're protected. You're going to make sure that they are covered. You're going to make sure that they have health, wealth, prosperity, and every kind of good according to the promise of the peace of God. I command angels to hearken to the word of God that's coming out of my voice and go to my family's house. See, you are tired when it's you. Because men, you're amazing and you can do a lot. It's impressive. But even on your best day, you need all of heaven behind you. And the beautiful thing is, they are behind you waiting to be given an assignment. Waiting to be given an assignment. Now, some of you are bosses. Some of you have to lead people in your work. Some of you have to lead a good amount of people. Some of you are mentors. Some of you, maybe you feel like, I'm not leading anything. There's always someone watching you. Yes, you are. You are a leader. There's responsibility there. And there's, I think, a heaviness that women, we go through other things, but I don't think any of us really comprehend the pressure that men feel. It's not light. But men, God did not leave you without forces. He did not leave you without help
and he did not leave you without armor and without strength. Why do you think in the Bible when there was a sorcerer that was speaking all sorts of sorcery and just a bunch of crap, honestly, why do you think that the prophet, he started praying and he assigned angels, and it says that the enemy heard them and they're like, oh Lord, we got to go. There's too many. When they were actually beyond outnumbered. Because what's in the physical realm, and I hope you get this, because men, you're so literal and factual, and it's amazing, and you're great with numbers, and you think of the big picture. And women, we get the details, and we're needed, okay? But I'm going to love on the men a little bit today, okay? And men, you're thinking big picture. And you're looking at things in the natural going, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. How on earth will that work? How on earth are we going to have money for another baby? How on earth are we going to pay this bill? How on earth are we going to put a new roof over our head? How on earth am I going to have to work overtime to do it? And so what you're doing is working overtime trying to figure out something that God has empowered and put with you if you would just assign an angel to handle the things that feel too heavy for you. Men, you're not by yourself. You have an innumerable army behind you that you don't physically see, which is why a lot of men don't walk in this, because you don't physically see it. But did you know there's a whole spirit realm that none of us are seeing right now? There's angels all in this room that you don't see, but they're here. And they work for you. You're the CEO of an innumerable army. And that means the things that feel too much for you, you can hand off to them. Praise the Lord, I hope a giant weight just lifted off of your shoulders. The things that feel too heavy for you, no problem. Hand it off to your innumerable workforce. They're waiting for an assignment. But we won't walk in that without a deep understanding of how much God loves you. Because you can't walk in authority when you don't feel deserving of it. And we're not deserving of it, which is why God sent his son running. And the moment Jesus rose from the dead, you rose with him. And not just did you rise with him and have access to heaven. Bless me, and I'm sorry. The first two sneezes get a bless you. The third one in our house gets a stop it. All right. You have an innumerable army. When Jesus rose, praise the Lord, he rose. And praise the Lord, we all have access to eternity. But there's work to do on earth. And if you don't realize how much God loved you, that he decided to send his son so that you could have authority here on earth, not just get to heaven, but have heaven on earth, you won't walk in it. You won't feel like, well, yeah, I'm sure, you know, Pastor Colin or Pastor Brandon or Pastor Mike, I'm sure, yeah, they have angels that will do what they say. But me, you know, did you see what I did yesterday? Man, I was the worst yesterday. I came in moody, angry. I snapped at my wife. I messed up. I looked at something I shouldn't have looked at. I did something I shouldn't have did. And you end up thinking, I don't deserve the authority I have. But if you have a revelation of how much God loved you, that on your worst day, you were still worth it to him. And you realize there's nothing I could have done to have earned this. You will walk into any room 10 feet tall and bulletproof when you realize that God loves you and gave you his authority. When you walk anywhere, you have your dad's authority. What did the other son get from his dad? He said, "Son, everything I have is yours." When I married Colin, and when he married me, there was no his and mine. It became ours. In case you didn't know. I'm joking. It became ours. When you became a child of God, everything your dad has just became yours, including his checkbook, including his blood, including his health, including his prosperity, including his mind, including his joy. We're going to close today. And I'm going to close with two scriptures. So go with me to Acts quickly. Acts 3:19 says, "So repent, change your mind and purpose. Turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased." Maybe you came in feeling so down about something recently. Erase it. It doesn't matter. It's gone. God's not looking at it. When he looks at you, he's looking at his son, pure like the last day church. Extremely wealthy, extremely pure, and extremely anointed. It says, repent. Change your mind and purpose, turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat. You ever had a heat stroke before? Anybody? That's wild. Heat has a way of making you feel just desperate and immovable. My husband had this at like 9 years old. I had it at 17, and it's bad news, guys. But I remember feeling frozen. But it says here, recovered from the effects of heat. I just saw that. A reviving with fresh air may come from the presence of the Lord. Here's your answer. If you need a fresh, if you need restoration, if you need to feel like you just walked into the most AC room ever. I love AC. Our house is cold. Colin comes home and puts on a parka all the time. I mean, it's just the way it is. And I've tried to change. And we've just come to the terms. It's better for it to be cold in our house. Everyone's happier, I think. Yeah. But the presence of the Lord. We read a scripture just before, and it said, "Let me ever sing for joy." It didn't say, "Ever sing when I have joy. Ever sing when I feel joyful, when things are joyful around me, when there's things I feel like I should have joy for." What happens in the presence of God? You sing for joy, because in the presence of God, joy, oh, you can't help it. It will fall on you. If you've been feeling down, depressed, men, you hide this. You don't talk about it. But I know a lot of you have felt down, depressed. Maybe even some suicidal thoughts. I don't know. I feel that in my spirit. Somebody in here has had suicidal thoughts lately. Get in the presence of your Father. And sing, and joy will enter your life. And then it says in verse 20, "And that he may send to you the Christ, the Messiah, who before was designated and appointed for you." even Jesus, whom heaven must receive and retain until the time for the complete restoration of all that God spoke by mouth of all his holy prophets for ages past, from the most ancient time in the memory of man. I think it's important to know that at one time or another, you and I were the prodigal, and God sent Jesus running to get to you, to get to me, before the enemy could declare kazaza on us. He sent his Messiah. And now, here's the thing. It is our job to go running to the people that don't know him. Fathers, mothers, sons, daughters. This is our great commission. That God went running for you. Grab the torch and go running for them. Because it's wonderful that I'm saved and I get to go to heaven and I get to live heaven on earth. But there is a world screaming for a father. Screaming in agony for a father. And we hear it and we can roll our eyes. We can look on social media and go, oh, everybody sucks, you know. Everybody's just angry. They're a bunch of whiners and complainers. I can't believe they think that way. How stupid are they that they think that way? I can't believe, oh man, I don't agree with that. Man, you don't deserve to have half of what you got. You know, you don't deserve freedom. You don't deserve this, that, and the other. When God looks at everyone living on earth right now, they're all deserving of his kindness, mercy, love. They all deserved for him to send his son running to them. And we have to look at people not and roll our eyes and go, oh, can't believe you think that way. Of course they think that way. They don't know a father. It's our job to go running and not running with condemnation and fingers pointed. But to do what Jesus did. Because now that you are saved, born again, he's in you. You are him. He is you. There's no separation. And what did Jesus do? He went after the one. And he would put his hand down in a pit. No. He jumped in the pit, put him on his back, and carried him out. We're going to do something different today. Angels work for us. They hearken for the word. And before we get to what I'm going to do, I first want to give you, if you've never accepted Jesus as Lord of your life, and you've maybe been running from God, right now with every head bowed, every eye closed, everybody looking online, maybe you just tuned in. It was not by accident. The Father's running for you. If that's you today, if you don't know Jesus, would you just raise your hand? Unashamed. Maybe you've even been running from him. You knew him at one time and you've been running. If that's you. Oh, I see him. God bless you. We're going to say this prayer and I want you to know there's no good deed you could do to earn what's about to happen to you. But Jesus took your place. And because of it, everything that you've ever needed, desired, wanted in life, I'm not saying it's going to be a perfect life. I'm not saying there won't be trouble. I'm not saying there won't be trials. I'm not saying there won't be things that happen. This is life. It's a broken world. But everything you need is about to enter inside of you. And it says you will never be alone. He will never leave you, never forsake you. And you're about to get a whole heavenly army that's about to work for you. But first, it's time to let the love of the Father enter inside. It says he's knocking. And that if anyone would open the door, he will come in. So say this with me, church, loud and proud. Jesus, you're the ultimate Father. I realize I stand here by the grace and mercy of God. I accept you into my life to be Lord and Savior. I accept your Holy Spirit that will move in, around, and through me, that will give me wisdom in the moments I need it most. Father, I accept you. From this day forward, I'm no longer a prodigal. I'm an inheritor of salvation, seated next to Jesus Christ. My life will never be the same. Show me. Walk me through this, and I'll honor you all the days of my life. Now, for the rest of us, which praise God, somebody just entered the kingdom, and all of heaven, all of angels is celebrating for you. For the rest of us, we're gonna do something, and now you get to do it too. Now that you know Jesus, would you stand with me today? It says the angels hearken to the word of God, and I know that each of us could think of probably a myriad of people that we know that don't know God. I'm sure their names or their faces are flashing across your face. Maybe some of you, it's a son, a daughter, a granddaughter, a friend, a coworker, a parent, maybe. Maybe it's a father. Maybe it's your dad. You're here and your dad doesn't know God. I want you to think of those faces. And I'm not saying you to think of the whole world, okay? We can do that, and we will do that, but let's think of the ones we know. We're going to do something in a minute. It says that we can send ministering angels anywhere we wish them to go. So where you have felt maybe like your hands have been tied and it's like, what else do I do? I've taught them Jesus. I've tried to show them Jesus. I've done everything in my mind that I know to do to show them the love of God. In this moment where you have felt maybe like your hands have been tied and you don't know what else to do and they're not getting it and it's not getting through, we're about to send ministering angels to them. Which means you're standing in this room. Did you know angels, they can be in multiple places at once. Are you aware of that? I never was aware of that. And once I figured that out, I went, oh, that's how my angel can be with me and with Colin at work and with Merritt if he's at my mom's. And that's how. You know, they can see everywhere and they can extend a hand wherever they needed to go. Are you aware of that? Okay, so your angels, they're a little bigger and more powerful than you would anticipate. And I'm sure I'm not even doing it justice. But we're going to begin to pray. And maybe you might be a little uncomfortable with this, but if you pray in the Spirit, we're going to begin just praying. Do that right now. Would you just begin praying in the Spirit? Come on, lift your voice. Don't be shy. I want you to begin thinking of their names as you're praying in the Spirit. And I'm gonna say something, and I'm going to begin praying. And then I want you, at the sound of my voice when I call for it, to yell their names. And you may feel uncomfortable about that. Well, this person, eternity depends on it. All right, so let's get past if we feel funny or that we may be uncomfortable or it's not my personality, I'm more reserved. Okay, but God wasn't reserved about you, and he sent his son running for you. So I think we can send angels running to the people that we love, that we want to be with in heaven. Hello. So I'm going to begin to pray. Keep praying in the Spirit, and when I call for it, we're going to begin yelling names.
and sending angels. Are you with me today? Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you that in the word it says that angels hearken to your word. And we're speaking your word right now, God. There are people we love that don't know you, that have never seen you, that have never met the love of Christ. And today, God, as sons and daughters, as heirs of salvation, at the count of three, we send angels to these people, no matter where they are. I don't care if they have a needle in their arm. I don't care if they have a drink in their hand. I don't care if they're in a hospital or a psych ward. I don't care where they are. At the sound of my voice, angels will be sent and minister and do what only the Holy Spirit can do. In one, two, three. You know more names than that. Come on, begin to speak it.
I thank you, God. I thank you for Mike. I thank you, God, for my nephews. I thank you. I thank you for my aunts and uncles. I thank you for Kit. I thank you for Sue, Carl. I thank you.
Come on, begin saying their names. You know, aunts, uncles, cousins. Come on.
Karamisha, I thank you, God. I thank you. I thank you for Kit. I thank you for Laura. I thank you for Graham. God, I send angels to them right now. I thank you for Chris and Marvin. For Kieran. I thank you.
God, Do you got more? Now, here's what you need to do. It says, we enter into his courts with praise. So do you believe that angels just obeyed you? According to scripture, did they just obey you? That means wherever those people are that you just said, angels just entered the scene and in the room. And maybe it's making that person really uncomfortable. And the Holy Spirit, come on. And Vincent got saved in a hotel room and no one told him the gospel. God met with him. Is your God so small? No. Your God can do anything. And it says, having done all to stand. But now you're not just standing, you're empowered. And every time you think of this person, you may even get a call later today and they're like, the funniest thing happened. I don't understand. You're like, really? Tell me about it. I want you to begin expecting. But we're going to pray this song. And it's the one that we ended with in worship. I thank God. And I want you to declare it prophetically. And men, I want you to sort this out. Because we like things logical and we like to see it with our eyes. And I'm asking you right now to walk away from your normal way of thinking and to enter into the realm of how God thinks. That there's something in the spirit that although you don't see it, I want you to imagine it. Because when you believe in your heart, another word for heart is imagination. And you confess with your mouth, we're going to sing this song. We're going to praise it. Because when we praise and we thank God, it's saying, I believe that's already done. Right. So we're going to do this by faith. And I want you to begin sending angels to do some certain things, maybe privately, that only you know about in your life that you need them to handle. But we're going to sing this. We're going to worship and thank God that these people, we're calling them into the gates of heaven. We're calling them into the gates of heaven. We're calling them into the body of Christ. Whether they like it or not, baby, they're going to get it. Amen. Amen? Amen? Do you believe that? Do you believe you have some authority? Yes. Come on, you do have authority. The same God, when he speaks and things change, is the same God in you. And when you speak, what happens? Things change. Go on, let's worship. Let's be prophetic and podcast. Speak to the people.
If you have prayer requests,
people,
you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com.
Let's declare God.
We love
is
to
on
hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us. and have a great day.